We'll be continuing with our study of the book of Nehemiah this afternoon. But let us first read together our text for today, which is taken from Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. Together. Now it came to pass, when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot, and what is standby, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watchers of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, and everyone to be over against his house. Let us look up to the Lord in prayer. O lover of our soul, our thoughts turn to you as a new week begins. Another week is ended, the hours have flown away. To you, our God, we look with gratitude for blessings received. We thank you for food that sustains, for safety and peace, for opportunities of work and witness, for joys of family and friends. These good gifts have come down from you, dear Father of lights, our great unchanging friend. Now to you we come for learning from your word. Before you we acknowledge our faults and failures, our defects and defilements. O Master, be very patient and long-suffering to cleanse and forgive our every sin and transgression. We desire to be strengthened by your Holy Spirit in the inner man, to conquer sin and self, to overcome the body with its affections and lusts. Grant us your peace and safekeeping this day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What are some examples of wise decisions by leaders in your life or in general? What do you think led them to make such wise decisions? Nehemiah was the epitome of a wise leader. He was God's decision maker in the newly walled Jerusalem. He exercised sound judgment and made prudent decisions. His wise decisions were indicators of his close relationship with God. His example gives us steps to follow in making our own decisions. Nehemiah didn't pack up and return to Susa when the walls and gates were finished. He knew that there was still much to do. Jerusalem needed its own strong local leadership. It needed an adequate plan of protection to maximize the use of the rebuilt walls. It is always important to focus on protecting that which we have built up for the Lord, not for selfish reasons, but so that the glory of God and the value of works done for Him may be magnified and multiplied for the sake of eternity. So what exactly did Nehemiah do? Roman numeral 1. Nehemiah wisely appointed new leaders. Nehemiah wisely appointed new leaders. This is found in Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 1 to 2. Now that the wall was rebuilt, the people of Jerusalem needed to post some guards. Nehemiah used his authority well. He appointed porters or gatekeepers to stand watch at the temple entrances and at the newly restored gates around the city wall. Chapter 7, verse 1. He also appointed singers and Levites. Perhaps these singers and Levites were supposed to assist the security force. On the other hand, Nehemiah may have appointed them to reinstitute a refurbished program of public worship. Singers, they lead the daily worship services. And Levites function primarily as teachers of the law of God, even if they simply assisted in the watch around the city. Their constant presence would have reminded the people to worship God. Nehemiah also recognized the need to appoint local leadership for Jerusalem. Perhaps the day-to-day details of city management were growing too large for him to handle by himself. In any event, the day would come when he would return to Susa. To leave the city well intact, it had to be self-governing. By the way, how might our church's leaders build a strong leadership base for the church's future needs? It is important for a leader to appoint, train, and cultivate responsible future leaders. This principle is of utmost importance spiritually in the New Testament age. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You are one of those who have heard from Pastor Crocker and myself. Are you willing to commit what you have heard to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also? The same commit thou to faithful men. Some may propose appointing unfaithful, spiritually floundering people to leadership positions in order to challenge them to become strong, godly leaders. But I submit to you that there are potential problems that might come from such a decision. Unfaithful, spiritually floundering people will most likely stay that way as leaders. Their lack of strong spiritual leadership will send a message to the rest of the church that spirituality doesn't really matter. This practice also runs the risk of appointing people who will abuse the leadership position. So who were the leaders whom Nehemiah appointed? Letter A, Hanani. Hanani. Nehemiah focused on appointing godly, qualified leadership. Chapter 7, verse 2. The first man Nehemiah appointed to help govern Jerusalem was his brother Hanani. Chapter 1, verse 2. This decision may appear to have been unwise, for Nehemiah risked being accused of nepotism, that is, establishing a family power base. On the other hand, this selection showed much wisdom. Hanani and Nehemiah shared the same upbringing, training, ideals, values, and commitments. Hanani would certainly remain loyal to Nehemiah and resist the overtures of Tobias' followers. Furthermore, Hanani had already proven himself as a loyal son of Judah. In fact, back in Persia, he had given Nehemiah the initial report of Jerusalem's sad state. He was obviously a man that people could trust. Letter B, Hananiah. Hananiah. Probably because Hanani was Nehemiah's brother, Nehemiah appointed Hananiah as a second ruler. Chapter 7, verse 2. This appointment put to rest any fears of nepotism and added the benefit of additional manpower to handle all the details of city management. Hananiah was an experienced leader. He had already been serving as the ruler of the palace. Palace is the word for fortress or citadel. It may refer to the fortress adjoined to the temple in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 8. Or to the military power of Hananiah in chapter 3 verse 1, located between the sheep gate and the fish gate. However, Hananiah impressed Nehemiah for more reasons than just his experience. Nehemiah chapter 7 verse 2 reads, "That I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many." So there are qualities that made Hananiah a good candidate for a leadership position. He was a faithful man who feared God. These are two essential characteristics of any spiritual leader. But why would the fear of God be particularly important for Hananiah as he dealt with enemies both inside and outside Jerusalem? He would make decisions based on God's desire for the city instead of his own. He would not be easily swayed by threats from outside enemies or attempts at coercion from within the city. Acts chapter 6 verses 1 to 7 says, "In those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." What criteria were used to select the leaders in Acts chapter 6? The men had to have a good reputation, be living by the Spirit, and be full of wisdom. How do these criteria compare with those Nehemiah used in appointing Hanani and Hananiah? In both cases, those making the selection chose leaders who were close to God and dependent on Him. Hananiah did not know that Nehemiah was observing him as he faithfully fulfilled his daily tasks. Yet, because of his faithfulness, he became a co-ruler over all Jerusalem. When we are faithful in small tasks, God often increases our responsibilities and sphere of influence. Not only did Nehemiah wisely appoint new leaders, Roman numeral 2, Nehemiah wisely counseled new guards. Nehemiah wisely counseled new guards. This is found in Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 3. Now that Hanani and Hananiah were in charge, Nehemiah gave them some specific instructions for supervising the newly assigned gatekeepers and city guards. He knew that gates and walls alone could not keep out the enemy. The city needed to adopt a wise defensive strategy as well. That's A, gatekeepers. Gatekeepers. Nehemiah chapter 7 verse 3 reads, "And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot, and what is stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watchers of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, and everyone to be over against his house." Newly appointed gatekeepers were to open the city gates for just a few hours each day. Jerusalem, though rebuilt, was sparsely populated. Chapter 7, verse 4. Workers from other regions of Judah had gone home. Unwanted individuals could easily enter the city undetected if the gates weren't watched. Nehemiah planned for the gates to be open only during the busy midday hours, where most of Jerusalem's populace would be out and about. Letter B, city guards. City guards. Newly appointed city guards were to keep watch around their neighborhoods night and day. This was a wise plan in that people are motivated to protect their neighborhoods. Question: was Nehemiah showing a lack of faith in God with the cautious instructions he gave to the gatekeepers and guards in chapter 7, verse 3? No, he was being wise. God expects us to use our common sense, skills, and abilities to protect ourselves and provide for our needs. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." There is a principle in this verse that helps explain why Nehemiah thought it necessary to appoint gatekeepers and guards. God expects people to be prudent and use their common sense to avoid unnecessarily exposing themselves to trouble. Nehemiah wisely appointed wise leaders, and he wisely counseled new guards. Nehemiah wisely reestablished the community of Jerusalem. He appointed gatekeepers and city guards to defend the city, and Levites and singers to lead its worship. He also appointed men of faith and integrity to rule the city. In particular, Nehemiah tells us that Hananiah was a faithful man and feared God above many. Verse 2. And the Apostle Paul says that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Some years ago, an American newspaper conducted a contest, and the following poem received a prize for the best answer to the question, "What would you do if you had one more year to live?" May it encourage us to be faithful in our service for the Lord. "If I had but 1 year to live, 1 year to help, 1 year to give, 1 year to love, 1 year to bless, 1 year of better things to stress, 1 year to sing, 1 year to smile, to brighten earth a little while, 1 year to sing my Maker's praise, 1 year to fill with work my days, 1 year to strive for reward, when I should stand before my Lord. I think that I will spend each day in just the very selfsame way that I do now. For from afar, the call may come across the bar at any time, and I must be prepared to meet eternity. So if I have a year to live, or just one day in which to give, a pleasant smile, a helping hand, a mind that tries to understand, a fellow creature, when in need, this one with me, I take no heed. But try to live each day he sends, to serve my gracious master's ends. Mary Davis Reed. Matthew Henry says, those who are faithful in well-doing need not fear those who are spiteful in evil-doing, for they have a God to trust who has well-doers under the hand of his protection and evil-doers under the hand of his restraint. May the Lord help us to be faithful unto death. Let us pray.